Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The End of Normal is a memoir by Stephanie Madoff Mack that examines the collapse of normal family life after the exposure of Bernard Madoff's Ponzi scheme. Written from the perspective of Mark Madoff's widow and Bernard Madoff's daughter-in-law, the book is less a financial expose than a personal account of shock, grief, and survival inside one of the most notorious scandals in modern American history. Its purpose is to document how public fraud reverberated through private relationships, especially marriage, parenting, and family identity. The memoir follows the period before and after Bernard Madoff's arrest, showing how the scandal transformed an affluent, seemingly secure life into one shaped by isolation, media attention, legal pressure, and emotional trauma, because it is grounded in lived experience rather than investigative reporting. The book offers a rare human-scale view of a case usually discussed in terms of dollars, arrests, and lawsuits. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a memoir of scandal seen from inside the Madoff family, the book's central perspective is what makes it distinctive. It is not an outsider account of the Madoff fraud, but a first-person memoir written by someone whose life was directly shattered by it. Stephanie Madoff Mack describes the emotional reality of being connected to Bernard Madoff through marriage, which places her at the intersection of public disgrace and private grief. That position allows the memoir to show how a famous financial crime affects people who did not commit it, but are still engulfed by its consequences. The result is a narrative about proximity to wrongdoing, where trust becomes unstable and every family relationship is reinterpreted under suspicion. This angle matters because it shifts the focus away from the mechanics of the Ponzi scheme and toward the social fallout, especially the loss of stability, dignity, and ordinary routines. The book therefore functions as both a personal testimony and a record of how scandal can destroy the sense of normal life from the inside out. Secondly, marriage, family loyalty, and the strain of inherited betrayal. A major theme in the memoir is how betrayal radiates through marriage and extended family relationships. Stephanie presents her life with Mark Madoff as a marriage that had to survive not only external pressure, but also the emotional consequences of learning that the family name had become associated with fraud. The book shows that betrayal is not limited to the person who committed the crime. It also affects spouses, children, and relatives who must decide how to interpret the same facts. Mark's relationship with his parents and the broader fracture within the Madoff family becomes a study in competing loyalties and moral confusion. The memoir suggests that even love and loyalty can become difficult to define when trust has been broken at the foundational level. Rather than offering a detached moral judgment, the book explores how family members process shame, anger, and loyalty at the same time. That complexity gives the memoir its emotional weight and distinguishes it from accounts that reduce the scandal to simple villainy or victimhood. Thirdly, grief after Mark Madoff's suicide and the burden of single parenthood. One of the most consequential parts of the memoir is its account of grief following Mark Madoff's suicide, which gives the book its tragic shape. Stephanie's story is not only about public scandal, but about the collapse of a household and the sudden responsibility of raising children alone. The memoir treats bereavement as a practical and emotional crisis at once she has to manage loss, preserve family continuity, and create a stable environment for her children while still processing her own shock. This dual burden is central to the book because it reveals how personal tragedy can continue long after the initial scandal has moved out of the headlines. The emotional challenge is not simply mourning a husband, but also maintaining a sense of identity and purpose for a family living under extraordinary scrutiny. In that sense, the memoir is about survival rather than resolution. It shows grief as a long, uneven process shaped by duty, memory, and the need to explain a devastating event to children who will grow up in its shadow. Fourthly, media attention, public judgment, and life after private collapse. The memoir also examines what happens when private suffering becomes public material. After Bernard Madoff's arrest, Stephanie and her family were not only dealing with emotional shock, but also with media attention, public curiosity, and judgment from people who knew them only through headlines. This creates an additional layer of hardship because scandal changes the way others see a family, often before the family has fully understood what has happened itself. The book captures the pressure of living in a situation where personal pain is constantly interpreted from the outside and where ordinary grief is complicated by public narrative. That tension gives the memoir a sociological dimension. It shows how notoriety can strip people of privacy and force them into roles they did not choose. For readers, this makes the book useful as a study of reputation, stigma, and the emotional costs of being associated with a widely condemned name. The memoir stands out because it describes not just the event, but the lasting social aftermath of that event. Lastly, a defense of memory and the attempt to preserve a father for his children. Another important function of the memoir is memorial and defensive Stephanie wrote partly to give her children a record of who their father was. Apart from the scandal surrounding the Madoff name, this gives the book a documentary purpose beyond self-expression. It tries to preserve a human version of Mark Madoff at a moment when public discussion of the family was dominated by fraud allegations, lawsuits, and moral condemnation. That intention shapes the memoir's tone and structure because it is concerned with memory, interpretation, and legacy. The book asks a difficult question: how should a person be remembered when their family history has become synonymous with disgrace? By answering that question from the standpoint of a wife and mother, the memoir becomes both intimate and argumentative. It argues, implicitly, that personal identity cannot be reduced to one public catastrophe. At the same time, it acknowledges how difficult it is to defend a loved one when the surrounding facts are so infamous. This tension gives the book lasting relevance as a reflection on family memory under historical pressure. In conclusion, The End of Normal will be most useful to readers interested in memoir, true crime-adjacent nonfiction, and the human consequences of major financial scandal. It is especially relevant for those who want to understand how a public fraud can affect spouses, children, and family identity long after the legal story is over. Readers looking for detailed financial analysis of the Madoff case will not find that here. The book is instead valuable as a personal and emotional record of what scandal does to ordinary life. Its main strength is its perspective. Many books about Bernie Madoff focus on the mechanics of deception, but this memoir centers the domestic aftermath marriage under strain, grief after suicide, and the effort to raise children amid shame and publicity. That makes it stand out in its category. It is less about explaining the fraud than about showing the cost of living beside it. For readers who want a more intimate, psychologically grounded account of one of the most notorious scandals in recent memory, this memoir offers a rare and memorable viewpoint. If you would like to support Stephanie Madoff Mack, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.